I'm tired, I'm worn, my heart is heavy from the work it takes to keep on breathing. I've made mistakes, I've let my hope fail, my soul feels crushed by the weight of this world.
You give life.
You give life.
Welcome, Hope Show listeners. I'm so happy that you all decided to join us back here for another week this Saturday. Friends, there has been several things that have happened this week that have really made me stop and think about the love of God. How much I love Him, how much He loves me, how He takes care of me and those that I love. Just as He takes care of and loves all of you out there in the listening audience. The things that have happened this week have been very good things, nothing wrong. As I was thinking about today's message and asking God what He would have me to speak about today, there it was again, that word, love. Next weekend on Sunday, it will be Valentine's Day. Around this time, people will go out of their way, over and beyond, something out of the ordinary, to show love to the ones that they care about. They write love letters, take their loved ones out to a nice restaurant for a meal, buy roses and chocolate. These are a few of the most common things that people do for their loved ones on Valentine's Day. That's great, and it's very much appreciated. But first of all, we need to treat one another and God like every day is Valentine's Day. Not just one day out of the year. But in the midst of all of this celebration, I wonder how many of us remember to take time out on that day, Valentine's Day, to reflect on our love for Jesus. So today's message is about love in action. And before we get started, I would like for all of us to bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for the opportunity to be here today, to share Your word, to learn more about You, to love, honor, praise, and worship You. Thank You for bringing each of us here right now, in this place, to fellowship with one another. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for first loving us. Thank You that You have offered us forgiveness and a new life in You. Thank You that Your love is perfect, never failing, and nothing can separate us from Your love. Thank You that Your love is so perfect and patient. Dear Heavenly Father, help remind us that the most important things are not what we do outwardly or based upon the gifts and talents that You have given us. The most significant thing we could choose to do in our life is to love You and to choose to love others. Father, help us to love as You do. We love You, Father, every day. Dear Heavenly Father, please anoint this vessel so that the words I speak are what You would want me to say here today, and not of my own understanding. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, Amen. Thank you for joining me in that moment of prayer. Our Bible verses of the day are from 1 John 4:19 and the chapter of 1 Corinthians 13. Let me begin by reading 1 John 4:19. We love Him because He first loved us. This is a statement that should reflect what our attitude toward God ought to be. God loved us with what is known as an agape love, the highest form of love. Agape love is selfless, sacrificial, unconditional love. He loved us so much that He sacrificed His only Son so that we might be saved and reunited with Him. There is no greater love than this. Now I'll read you the chapter of 1 Corinthians 13. It's a popular chapter in the Bible that is most commonly known as the love chapter. It is one of the greatest reminders to all of us of what real love looks like and what it does not look like. The Bible verse is written as such. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but I do not have love, I have nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but I do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Friends, I want to ask you a few questions. Do you love God? That may sound like a silly question, but do you love God? How do you love Him? Do you love Him according to the Bible? These are questions that only you can answer. And to what depth do you love God? Loving God is not only shown through our prayer, going to church, singing and praising Him with song, or giving a portion of our income to tithe. To truly love God, it requires much more than that from each of us. If you read the Bible scriptures, then you will learn that we not only have to love Him with all of our heart, but also with our complete soul, our complete mind, and all of our strength. There are no gray areas. You are either all in or you're not. Have you ever thought of writing a love letter to Jesus? Have you ever thought what a love letter from you to Jesus might look like or sound like? Would it look any different than the love letters that you write to your loved ones? Would it include a lot more feeling and emotion? Would the letter be longer or shorter? Would you know what to write? Or would you have writer's block? I came across something in one of my daily devotionals the other day, and I really want to share it with you because it ties in to today's message. The devotion was talking about love letters to Jesus and was posing the question, could we love Jesus that much? To sit down and write Him a long, deep, heartfelt love letter. And the writer of this letter wrote this, and I'm paraphrasing some. This is his love letter to Jesus. Dear Jesus, when you are present with me, all is good, and nothing seems difficult. But when I forget you, all is hard and empty. Jesus, your voice to me is one of the most precious sounds in existence. If I don't hear you speaking inside my soul, all other comfort is worth nothing. But if you speak but one word to me, I am greatly comforted. Oh, how foolish I am when I go into any situation without having you on my mind, Jesus. What vanity for me to desire anything outside of you. The world without you profits me nothing. To be without you feels like hell. and to be with you feels like sweet paradise. When you're with me, no enemy can hurt me. To find you is the real treasure, the good above all good, and to become the richest person on earth. But to lose you is to lose more than the whole world, and to be left in the worst way, in poverty. Oh, Jesus, it is the greatest skill to know how to communicate with you and to hold a conversation with you. Lord, please teach me this skill. Oh, to know how to keep you in my conscience at all times. This is the greatest wisdom. Please, dear Lord, tune my heart to your presence with me at all times. If only I would be humble and peaceable, then Jesus, you'll remain with me. If only I'd be quiet, then you'll stay within me. I'm afraid of making mistakes that might drive you away, that I would turn to outward things and lose favor with you, Jesus. If this happens, where will I go? Who else will I turn to as my friend? Without you, a true friend, I cannot live well, and you are above all of my friends. You are my sole friend. Without you beside me, I'd be sad and desolate. Jesus, you are the one that I trust and rejoice in above all others. I would rather have the whole world against me than to have you offended with me. Among all those that are dear to me, you stand out to me the most. You are the one that I especially love. There is no one like you. Yes, Lord, I long to be pure and free within, devoted entirely to you. I want to be emptied of all but you. Lord Jesus Christ, when your grace comes to me, I am made strong and able for all things. But without your grace, I am poor and weak. I get discouraged sometimes, but when my eyes are fixed on you, I can endure whatever hardship comes my way for your glory. I love you, Jesus. You are the best friend that I could ever have. Friends, does that sound like any letter that you would write to Jesus? This is a powerful love letter between a man and his very best friend, Jesus. As I read it, you can feel the deep, deep, deep love that this man has for Jesus. And this is how we should be feeling all the time, every day, every minute of the day. But of course, more personal and in your own words to write your love letters. So right here, I'm going to go ahead and take a short break while all of you reflect on God's message up to this point and reflect upon that love letter that that man wrote to Jesus. I'm going to go ahead and take a short break. If God is speaking to you right now, listen and obey. What is he sharing with you? Is he asking you to do something for his name's sake? Won't you step out in love and faith and sow what he wants you to do today? Stay tuned in and I'll be right back.
do. I believe in love of the cross you're nailed to. I believe in amazing grace and your heaven sent. I believe in you. I believe in you. You mend the brokenness of this life. And in the darkest night I survive. Where would I be without your might? Seasons come and go, but not you. You're forever faithful and true. I believe in miracles and wonders that you do. I believe in love of the cross you're nailed to. I believe in amazing grace and your heaven sent.
Welcome back, Hope Show listeners. Thank you for staying tuned in to hear what God has in store for us for the second half of today's message. If you are just tuning in, we are talking about love, our love for Jesus. Today's message is called Love in Action. Friends, during the first half of today's message, I asked you some questions. And after hearing me read the love letter that some anonymous man wrote to Jesus, I'm going to ask those same questions to you again. Do you love God? How do you love Him? Do you love Him according to the Bible? In order to truly love God according to the Bible, the most significant thing that you can choose to do is to love God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, and with all of your strength, putting Him before all others. God should be first in your life, not second, third, or fourth place in your life. In order to love God according to the Bible, you must know a few more things. You need to know God. Really, really know God. In John 4, 7, and 8, the Bible says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love." Loving is knowing. If you want to love God, you must get to know Him by reading the Bible, which is a series of short stories used to describe Him, about meditating with Him and praying. That's how you get to know God, spending time with Him. The Bible is God's autobiography, if you will. Meditate on His Word. Pray. Listen to your pastor if you have a church family. If there's a televangelist on the television that you particularly like, listen in on them whenever you get a chance. Seek, ask, and the door will be open to you. You must obey His commandments in order to truly love Him. In John 14, 15, in the Bible says, "If you love me, you will obey what I command." Friends, if you keep disobeying His commands, then how can you say you love Him? Each of us have grown our love in Him by obeying His commandments and by getting to know Him better, by spending time with Him, by being in meditation with Him. If you don't know what the Ten Commandments are, they can be found in Deuteronomy 5 in your Bible. Friends, you also have to love your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. 1 John 4:20 says, "If someone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen?" What this means is, how can you give love to God, who is in heaven, if you can't even give love to the people around you here on earth? Another way to show God your love is, do not have false idols, such as money. Do not love money. Matthew 6:24. "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and money. The love of money is the root of all evil, my friends. If your heart falls for money, then your heart cannot be given to God too. God is a God of generosity and charity, not of greed. Do not love worldly things. 1 John 2:15 says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." I have said this numerous times, friends, but you can gain all the worldly things and believe to be the richest man or woman on earth, but in your spirit, you can be wealthy and monetary in what the world says, but you can also be the poorest person on earth spiritually. When we pass away from this earth, our graves are all the same size, proportionate to our body size. We can't take material possessions with us to heaven. From dust we came, and to dust we shall return. Money doesn't buy true happiness. It might buy you happiness for a moment, but it does not buy you true, everlasting happiness. And you can't buy love and happiness with money either. These precious gems can only be obtained by knowing and having an intimate, loving relationship with God. Money, worldly possessions, will only lead you to a life of greed, envy, gluttony, idolatry, and spiritual death. All these things are contradictory to the teachings of God found in the Bible. To start truly loving God is to start ending your love for those material things here on earth. Another way to show God that you truly love Him is to love Him through honest actions. So what does that mean? In John 3:17-18, the Bible says, "If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and truth." Friends, if you truly love God, you have to practice it daily. Practice it daily. You can't just say you love God. That's not enough. You have to practice it daily. Another way to show God you love Him is to be patient, kind. Love does not envy, patient, kind, humble, truthful, righteous, and faithful. And going back to what is known as the love letter in 1 Corinthians 13:4-8, let me remind you that the Bible says, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. These verses show us, they paint us a beautiful portrait of what true love is. This is the agape love, unconditional love. And this is the love that we should be giving one another every day, but especially God. We should also bind all of our good virtues into perfect harmony with others. In Colossians 3:12-14, the Bible says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." Friends, one of the characteristics of a true love is that it does tie all those good virtues together in perfect harmony. It unites our qualities, the ones such as compassion and kindness, humility and patience. Jesus Christ is our living example, and we should all strive to have these qualities in ourselves. Jesus was loving. He taught that we should all love one another because love is God. Love is from God. Jesus was forgiving. We are all supposed to forgive one another when they wrong us. But as flawed humans, we sometimes have trouble doing this. It's hard enough sometimes to forgive ourselves, the ones we love, let alone forgive someone that we might consider to be our enemy. Jesus demonstrated humility. In Mark 10:45, the Bible says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus demonstrated compassion for the crowds. The people were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Unlike Jesus, we don't know what other people are going through, which is all the more reason to give them the benefit of the doubt. It can be hard sometimes, but we should give people the benefit of the doubt because we don't know what they are going through. Jesus demonstrated gentleness and self-control. Matthew 5:9, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." Jesus lived a sinless life, despite being tempted by Satan. Satan presented Jesus with everything in this world and all that it had to offer. But Jesus would not accept any of it. He could not be tempted. Friends, self-control is not easy. I struggle with that sometimes, as probably most of you do as well. It is not easy. And Jesus demonstrated patience. Jesus had perfect patience with us, using the right time and circumstances in our lives to mold and shape us. Oftentimes, we need to show more patience in our lives and with the people around us. Having patience isn't an easy thing either, and that's something that I've struggled with most of my life. But God is dealing with me on that. Jesus showed obedience to the Father. Jesus was and is truth, honesty. Jesus was always in prayer. Jesus was and is our example for righteous living. This is how to truly love God. God wants us to save our soul for Him. God so loves us that He wants us to spend eternity in heaven with each one of us. In order to save your soul for Him, be righteous. Strengthen your faith through deeds and actions, and follow His commandments so that you will be confident that your soul will be saved and that you will spend eternity with Him. And fear no evil. 1 John 4:18 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love." Friends, to love God is to reject and deny all evil, no matter how tempting and powerful it might be. Being fearless is not only having no fear of evil, but also having no fear to reject anything that evil offers. Friends, I'm going to say it again. Love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, all of your mind, all of your strength. Why? Because in Mark 12:30, the Bible says, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment." To love God should not only be a product of your emotions, your personality, and your thoughts, but it should be a fruit of your actions and your labor too. Not just mediocre attempts, but your very finest and best attempts. This is why the verse says, "With all of your love, soul, mind, and strength. Don't love God halfway, as perhaps some of you may do with your job. Maybe some of you do your job halfway. You don't particularly like your job. But God gave you that job, and so you love that job, and you do it to the best of your ability. God deserves our very best and our all. We don't kind of love God. We either love him or we don't. God doesn't kind of love us. He loves us with an agape love, the highest form of love, an unconditional love. And he deserves that in turn from us. He created us. Without him, we would be nothing and we could do nothing. We should be persistent and keep our love for God as if our very life depends on it. Because in reality, our very life does depend upon it. We will either spend eternity in heaven with our Heavenly Father, or we will be dead spiritually and go to hell on Judgment Day. We are not going to be kind of in heaven or kind of in hell. We will either be in one place or the other. And my friends, this is serious, serious business. And so, to sum it up today, loving God requires, it is not an option, it requires knowing him, obeying his commands faithfully, uniting all of our good virtues, rejecting evil, serving the Lord loyally, loving him extraordinarily, and keeping that kind of love for him alive in us. Seek and find. Enjoy the beautiful, intimate relationship that can be found when you are truly in love with God. Always be in prayer. Just like a love relationship between a man and a woman, you should never stop seeking out ways to better love the person you are in love with. You should never stop learning about them, studying them, praying for them, and with them, no matter how many years you're with them. Whether you're with them for 1 year, 10 years, 50 years, always seek out ways to better love them, to better serve them, to better honor them, to learn more about them. Study them. Friends, it goes much deeper than that with your love for God and his mutual love for you. Imagine for a moment the idea of the most loving, joyful, intimate relationship that you can possibly think of, and how that would feel to bask in that deep, unconditional love every day of your life, unchanging, growing ever deeper with each passing day. The best marriage of all time, the commitment, the sacrifice, the loyalty, the trust, and the faith. Friends, God first loved us. And if you truly love him, you can have that deep, intimate, loving relationship with God. He is the groom. We are the bride. And if you haven't truly loved him yet, now is the right time, the perfect time, to start doing that. I'm going to wrap this up a little early, friends. I have another obligation that I have to be at in about 30 minutes. But right now, let us all bow our head in a closing prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and for the life you have given us, the many blessings that you have bestowed on us. We thank you for your message today. We thank you for first loving us. We thank you for sacrificing your Son to not only save us from our sin, reunite us back to you, but also for sending him as the perfect and shining example of what true and perfect love is, to show us how we should not only love you, but how to love our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Father, God, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, we love you. Please forgive us if we don't say it enough, but we love you. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, Amen. I want to thank all of you again for tuning in today. God has given us a beautiful message today, something truly to reflect on in the coming days. How much do we love God? Are we living a life that without a shadow of a doubt says how much we love him in action and deed? That demonstrates that he is our number one love. Are we lukewarm about showing our love? Is there any way we could improve? Think about it. Think on it. Friends, as God was giving me this message today, he also gave me the message for next Saturday. You know, next Saturday will be the day before Valentine's Day. And you can never talk too much about love. God's love for us, our love for God. You can never talk too much about love. And God, like I said, gave me another message for next week. And it's going to be called Love Letters. And I read to you today a love letter from an anonymous man to God. And next week, I'm going to continue on that theme, love letters. And God has some amazing things in store for you next Saturday. And you don't want to miss out. So please come back again next Saturday to hear what God has in store for you. Until next Saturday, same time, same place. God bless each and every one of you, and may God watch over and protect you and your family. God loves you. I love you. Shaziz loves you.
over me. Love's like a hurricane, I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us so. Like a hurricane, I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us so. Redemption by the grace in his eyes. If grace is an ocean, we're all sinking. So heaven meets earth like a sloppy wet kiss, and my heart turns violently inside of my chest.
Yeah, he loves us. His presence, His love is so thick and tangible in this room tonight. And there are some of you here that have not encountered the love of God. And tonight, God wants to encounter you and wants you to feel His love, His amazing love. Without it, these are just songs, these are just words, these are just instruments. Without the love of God, it's just like we're just up here just making noise. But the love of God changes us, and we're never the same. We're never the same after we encounter the love of God. We're never the same after we encounter.